All right. Welcome back to episode 41 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and a good representation of my current stay-at-home situation is the card Eat to Extinction, because that's what I appear to be doing at all times.
That's great. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle, and some people think that Cultivate is the best three-mana ramp spell. To all you people out there, that's just your opinion.
Bro.
Please listen carefully.
I got it. I picked up what you were laying down. And this is a podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander. If you're looking for a way to support the podcast, number one thing you can do, doesn't cost a dime. Go on down to our comment section. Leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. Leave us a like. We'd really appreciate it, no matter what format you're listening to it on. Another way you can support us, if you're looking to buy any singles, especially during this quarantine time, if you're going to purchase them from TCG Player, TCG Player does have a bunch of local game stores that sell their cards, so support your local game stores, keep them in business. If you could use our affiliate link, it's located on our website, guardianprojectpodcast.com, we'd really appreciate it.
We also launched our Patreon a few weeks ago, and we want to thank everyone that signed up to support us. We also posted earlier this week that if you want to join our Discord, which was on the first level Patreon reward, everybody's at home. We're all looking for something to do in a community to be a part of. So right now, just join, let us know, send us a direct message, and we'll send you a link to the page or to our Discord channel. But if you do want to support, head over to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and support for as little as $1 a month. We've got a lot of fun rewards, playset of our tokens, Commander of the Week features, and joining the show. So we appreciate all of your support, and all of those proceeds will go back into the show to produce more content in the future. Mm-hmm. What do we have on the agenda this week, Coyle?
This week we're joined with Zuby from Magic with Zuby.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Great. We're going to talk about the Ikoria hints and teasers that Gavin Verhey dropped over the past couple of days. We're going to talk about Magic Fest Online with Channel Fireball events that are happening. We're going to do a Pack 1 Pick 1 with packs donated by our gracious fan Cube Draft. And Zuby is going to be presenting Commander of the Week this week.
Torbrand, Thane of Redfell. Pretty excited. I'm excited. So, Zuby, welcome to our show for the first time. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I know we've talked about this for a couple weeks now,
and glad
we could finally get this going.
Well, it only took until all of us were in isolation and we had to figure out how to record digitally anyway for me to go, now we know how to do it. So I'm just going to call Zuby and tell him you need to come on the show.
It just took a pandemic for it to happen.
It only took a pandemic. See, everybody, good things can happen. So I've been listening to your show for a long time. You have a couple shows you participate in. So let's go through a few things. So first, tell us about Magic with Zuby and how that started and what your focus is. Tell our folks that may not have listened to you what your show's all about.
Sure. So my show, it's evolved a lot over the years. It's just gotten past 4 years old, and I'm getting close to episode 200. Still have no idea what I'm going to do for it. But so it originally started off like trying to go like sort of journal my journey to try to get into more competitive Magic when that failed. And now it's just sort of really become more of an interview show where I interview content creators, pro players, streamers, you know, what have you. And we just sort of have casual conversations. I try to make it as casual as possible and try to get to really get to know the guest that I have on and not just ask the basic, oh, how'd you get started with Magic type stuff. It's I want to do a deep dive into the person.
Okay, nice. So 200 episodes almost. How many years? Do you do one episode every week, or in the beginning did you start out a little slower?
It's in the beginning start off a little slower. It's definitely one episode a week now.
Okay.
And yeah, it's been 4 years. I can't believe I'm still doing it, to be honest. I thought it was just going to be one of those, you know what you mean? Like you start a project and you think, yeah, I'm totally going to do it. Then 6 months later, you just quit.
Yeah.
Been there. And now
yeah,
you're also part of a few other channels, right? So you work with,
yep.
The Tin Street Hooligans, and you guys do a lot of fun stuff there. So it's a very much of an interview, like kind of like a game show almost. With
sort of, it's sort of like an amalgamation of it all, right? It originally started with me, John Dunning of They Said We Said, Coach from the Card Bazaar, and Johnny Slivers. It was just us four at the beginning, and it was just random. Like every week was completely random, and then we started bringing guests. And then Pixie Kitten started to, you know, I think she guested one time and we had a really good time with her and we invited her on as like a mainstay member. And since then, it's we've done, what is it, the Supreme Verdict, the quiz game show. We've done like, you know, sort of like a Price is Right type thing. We did D&D for a little bit, which we still need to finish. That's hard to get us all wrangled together for that too.
Outside of even recording with a group and just regular friends, it's hard to get people together for D&D.
Yeah, for sure.
Even when none of us have plans at all and are just sitting at home, it's still hard to plan around.
I know, for sure.
And then you've
Like my group right now wants me to learn Roll 20. It's like I played Roll 20 as a player, but never as a DM. And just trying to learn that, I'm just like, I have
no
idea.
So you're
going to
DM that then?
Well, yeah, because I'm DMing my current group right now.
Okay.
That I play together.
Well, you've got DM experience then. You don't even have to learn the system. The rules are yours. You are the god.
isn't that like
it's just
one
learning Roll 20. I don't know how to use it.
Oh, that's on an online program for D&D, I assume. Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you guys are going to use, Coil? There's a couple people that were talking about using Roll 20 for another campaign.
Yeah, so we're talking about starting a quarantine City of Mists campaign.
Ooh.
So it's definitely an interesting RPG if you haven't played it before. There are none of the normal rules you would have from a Dungeons & Dragons campaign. So
nice. Sounds fun.
It should be fun.
I really want to do a D&D campaign, or at least finish the campaign that they had for Ravnica. So we started the Ravnica campaign. I think we met twice, right? We met two times or once?
Oh, your husband DM'd it. Ask him.
I don't know. None of us got together on it, but it was a lot of fun. But and then they came out with another. There was another Magic crossover with D&D, right? There's two Magic D&D books.
There's another one coming out this summer, Theros.
Oh, Theros
is coming out with one.
And they did.
I might be a part of something with that with WotC.
Ooh.
Nothing official yet.
That's exciting. Well, that keep would be us awesome. Posted.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just watch out for my Twitter.
Okay. And so speaking of Pixie Kitten, when you were talking about the Tin Street Hooligans, you've also been doing a new show, Magic with Normies. Magic for Normies.
Magic for Normies. So
for Normies.
That got started off pretty weird. So I was opening up a case of Theros Beyond Death, and I don't know if you know Pat Crack Fever, Efren from Cardsphere. He was in chat, and he and I are just going back and forth. Pixie shows up in chat, and somehow or another Efren says you two should start a podcast together. We're like, okay. And then that's sort of how it started, and we're trying to do it super casual. We play a lot of fun games. This past episode her and I got super drunk, and we played Pixie Evaluates Goblins, where we found like 20 goblin cards and she had to evaluate like how cute they are.
I listened a couple episodes ago when you guys were doing cards and you were trying to pronounce the most ridiculous cards.
Oh my gosh.
I was in chat and it was the card Borborygmos, and trying to type out cards in chat phonetically is extremely difficult when they're trying to get through.
I can still barely say that name too. Borborygmos or something, whatever.
Okay, so you focus primarily on casual Magic, which is really how our channel started, right? We want to focus on a lot of casual things. We've talked briefly about some more competitive Magic, and but I think we find it a lot more fun when we play at a lower power level and we play cards that we don't play very often in longer games.
Yep.
And I don't want to just always win on turn, or have someone win on turn 5 to 7. It's nice being.
I wish my playgroup was like that.
I've heard you talk about your playgroup a few times where you're forced to play Grand Arbiter because of how your playgroup plays.
Oh, you have no idea.
We
it's when they start bringing out the infinite turn Animar and the what is it, the Captain Sisse. I'm like, oh no, we're not gonna play this year.
we all made sure that we had a couple powerful decks, and then we started doing budget decks with the group. Mm-hmm. So we started with a budget of 20, and then we did a budget of 50, and then we kind of made some updates from there. But I definitely have some lower power decks, like my Tulsimir, Friend to Wolves, was one of those decks, and it doesn't do well in a 4-man player game anyway. 4-man pot, it's better in 1v1, but I think the whole deck is like $125 or something like that, just because it's green white and I'm not playing anything broken, but it's a lot more fun to play that than it is to play a game where you're stuck behind because you aren't playing ramp and stuff like everyone else is, and powerful cards that deal with everything very fast.
There's always this drive to upgrade the decks and like, oh, there's this card that's like strictly better. So every 3 months, you pretty much have to make like a couple new decks just to bring to the table that are weaker just so you can just play long game again.
My Jerad Golgari Lichlord deck was also one that I started out with for budget. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this deck's like $500 now because I made all these upgrades with stuff that I had and stuff that was strictly better. And okay, well, this one I can no longer bring to the table when we play our casual decks.
It's just not casual. Well, what are your rules if like certain cards spike and all that?
The time you order it, we were like, if you order it, and we took like, I think we did a screenshot from Archidect. So we did a screenshot and said, you bought it at this time. This is what the price is. And we were playing, at least I was, with Tulsimir, a lot of wolf cards. And when green, blue flash was really popular and standard with the flash wolf that has at the end of your turn, if you didn't cast a spell, it makes another wolf. I can't remember what
I can't think called. Of the name. Well, it's the two double green. Wolf
two double green. And it went up to like $5 for a short period of time. And I was like, well, I am now out of my budget, but we said it was fine. But we tried to stick around 50 because a lot of us have a decent commander like collection at this point where you can just move cards around. And so we didn't think that that was that big of a deal.
And that's 50 including commander cost.
Includes the commander in that cost.
Oh, okay.
Coil built Yarok the Desecrated when Yarok shot up to like $16. And Coil goes, well, I guess my deck is going to be bad.
That was when we were doing $25 decks too. My deck was like 50 lands, 50 basic lands.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It's a Night Pack Ambusher, by the way.
That's right. Yeah. So that card spiked, and there were a couple other cards that were in standard that were being played that were just popular. But now that deck's not in favor, my deck had gone down. But then I just upgraded it because I always look for cards and then I buy them and then the deck is never cheap anymore.
I know that feeling.
you feel like you have a few minutes, so you jump on EDH Rec or Scryfall and you look for something, and then you have 10 cards in your cart on TCG Player. Story of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, Coil, we've got some Ikoria hints from Gavin Verhey. He's been doing some videos.
Yeah, keeping us sane during these times of quarantine.
So you captured all of his tips and all of his hints.
Yes. Do you want to go through these one by one, or do you want me to list them all out and then go back through the list?
Let's go through them one by one.
Okay.
And you were calling this segment Gavin Verhints.
These are Gavin Verhints.
Okay. Gavin Verhint, I like that.
So this is for the next Ikoria set that's coming out, and the preview should be starting in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, specifically
April 2nd?
Hopefully the commander stuff starts getting spoiled the same time that the standard stuff does. But yeah, April 2nd.
So in about a week, in 8 days from the day we record this, those spoilers start.
So Gavin listed some hints specifically about Ikoria Commander. We know that Mark Rosewater listed some hints about Ikoria Standard, or we assume Ikoria Standard, because he didn't specify one way or the other. And so to give us some food for thought on what we should be expecting, or these are complete red herrings and, we don't know what to expect. Here are some of Gavin's his hints. So there will be a mono white card that lets you repeatedly ramp planes from your library onto the battlefield.
Weathered Wayfarer?
These are, again, cards that are not reprints.
Okay. So not Weathered Wayfarer. Okay.
Brand new.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah. I just don't know what it's going to cost.
Yeah. For white definitely needs something like that.
It does. If only it was card draw. I mean, but
you know what? If they cost it at like two, it feels like card draw, because then you always have the land and then you can eventually just play the cards that are in your hand.
It's true. It might be I don't even know if you can call it worse, version of land tax, but land tax, it goes to your hand, but you can grab three and only cost one mana for the enchantment.
True.
So maybe it's better than land tax.
You're going to play both, right?
Hopefully.
unless
it costs, like, the one thing that could hold it back is if it's a 10 mana enchantment where you're going to have 10 mana before you start using your ramp spell.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, no thanks.
Unplayable.
Yeah.
Nope, can't play it at 10 white mana. I guess not white, but...
Well, and it is a white card. Doesn't mean it's in a white deck. So...
Could be white-green.
Could be five-color.
That's true.
But it does ramp planes. It does ramp planes, it says.
So it'd have to be mono-white. Not necessarily, but that's what makes the most sense.
You're not wrong. That does make the most sense.
They'll give it a good. They'll make a good white card, but it's going to be strictly mono white. So they can say, "You guys asked for better white cards. This one is only white." So you got
sorry.
It.
Sorry, and you're welcome at the same time.
All right,
time.
I'm on board with that one.
All right, the second one we have is rules text on a card that says, "You and planeswalkers you control gain protection from that player."
So like a true name nemesis, but for you and planeswalkers you control?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Atraxa will love that.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe they'll print it in red just so Atraxa can't use it.
Ooh.
I'm happy for my Jota planeswalkers deck that Jota will take that.
Something tells me protection from a player isn't going to be printed in red.
Protection from a player sounds
white.
Like
no, that's typically more of a white or blue.
I would say white or green, but the fact that true name nemesis is blue makes me think blue.
And white is Teferi's protection.
True.
So if it's white blue, it's the best color combination in the game. I'm on board.
I'm confused. You didn't say mono black.
Okay.
All right. The next hint is. Magic's fourth trilobite will be printed, ignoring changelings. A trilobite.
Okay. Trilobite?
I don't know. It's an ancient crab crustacean thing.
What are the trilobites that are out now? All I is Pentavis, but that's not a trilobite, right? That's
no, there are three. It's I looked it up and someone I found it on Twitter. Someone linked them. I think one of them is actually a sliver trilobite too, or something like that. From Modern Horizons.
And you said this is excluding changelings, so it's not changeling.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Excluding changelings.
Well, I don't play tribal trilobite, so as of right now, unless it has,
I don't think you even could. Well, yeah, you'd have to have changelings.
With all the changelings in Morophon, five color, I'd say if this trilobite is three or more colors, I'm gonna put it in my Morophon deck. It's going in.
It's going
just
in.
To have a trilobite.
But I would like someone to play a tribal eye deck. There's two eye creatures in the game, mm-hmm. and then just mm-hmm. all changelings with Morophon.
Well, but if they printed more than two eyes, then a pirate joke of going I won't make any sense. You got to think that that's Wizards' full reasoning for not printing a third.
100%. We should ask Mark Rosewater to confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get him on the show.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll do it in the future. Hey, he jumps on shows.
That's true.
What is he doing right now? I mean, he's quarantined.
He's making TikToks
with
his daughter.
Do you have his number, Zuby? You got the hookup? We'll just call him right now.
Well, oh yeah, I mean, I've got insiders into WotC, so you know.
It's only like 4:30 there. We've got a few hours to kill, right? So
yeah.
It's too bad that he. Although he doesn't not like the commander format, but he prefers
1v1. 1v1 commander, tribal.
It could happen. All right, the next hint we have is an ability on a permanent that begins with you may pay zero rather than ..
You may pay zero than...
Rather than.
Rather.
Zero rather than... Ellipses.
Then paying the cost of this spell if you exile a blue card from your hand, force of will, but on a creature.
Oh, that'd be disgusting.
Force of will.
No, that's exiling a card from your hand. But it feels like it by paying zero, you may pay zero instead of doing this. and this could be exiling a card from your hand. I figured it out.
Yeah, it's an ability on a permanent.
A reverse Ristic Study that allows other players to draw cards.
I'm going to guess that this is something not that exciting, and it'll just be for it'll just be for equipments that you can pay zero rather than pay their equip cost equip.
So like
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. You're so smart. That sounds like what it would be.
Your suggestions are way funner, though. Way more fun. Way more fun.
It's funner. We like the word funner on this show.
Funner. It's funner. Funner. There are 41 instances of the word counter or counters among text boxes, including reminder text.
But there's 13 unique types of counters in this set. Oh, no. Yep. This is Commander only, though.
This is only talking about Commander. We do know, I'll skip a couple points ahead. We do know one of those counters is a fetch counter. Because there is a hound that generates fetch counters. You can play fetch with your hound.
He's going to go fetch me some lands.
He's going to get counters. That's all I can say.
So if there's going to be a lot of counters in this, then was it Aether Snap is probably going to go up through the roof? Remove all counters from all permanents and exile all tokens?
Maybe. How about you ever heard of the card Thief of Blood before?
Yeah. Thief of Blood. I know I have. I just don't remember what it does.
Remove all counters from all permanents and put a +1/+1 counter on Thief of Blood for each counter removed this way.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good, too.
Thief of Blood just kills planeswalkers. Get wrecked, Super Friends deck.
Okay. Well, so isn't there that there's that other white one. Didn't it come out in, like, Ixalan or something? Oh, God. It, like, removes counters, too, or players can't get counters.
Solemnity.
That's right. It was supposed to be, like, the foil to energy, but it was way too late.
Wait, no. I know what you're talking about, Zuby. That's the card. Is it Sun Cleanser?
No. Solemnity was it players can't get counters, and counters can't be put on artifacts, creatures, enchantments, or lands. That might go up, too.
Yeah, it might. I think Sun Cleanser, so that was printed in M19, which was after the energies rotated out from Kaladesh, I believe, and it had, when it enters the battlefield, you choose one, you remove all counters from a creature, it can't have counters, or a target player loses all counters. So this would have been really, I think this would have been played a lot had this been printed in...
During Kaladesh.
But the card itself looks like it was from the Ixalan block. I mean, 100%. Yeah, it does. So it's just interesting they didn't have... And I get it, but... Maybe that could be printed. And I like counters. I like playing with counters as a mechanic.
Tracking
all the counters on the battlefield.
That's why you need this many dice to play Magic now.
That's not enough.
So Coyle is showing us on his webcam not very many dice. But you need lots and lots of dice.
Yep.
So fetch counters, though. So you can throw something at your opponent and then the dog goes and gets it back.
I honestly think it would be cool to accumulate fetch counters by actually doing fetching, like fetch lands, or maybe not tutors. Like, whenever you search for a land,
like,
would be kind of cool.
Like a chaos orb. Isn't that the one where you drop it from,
from
a height? But you can toss it from your spot, and you toss it over there, and then when your dog gets a counter, it fetches it back to you. Then you just keep tossing that card over there.
You think there's going to be silver border cards printed in this next commander set?
Yeah, that sounds more like an uncard.
Okay, fine. The next unset is going to have a fetch dog that throws things at your opponent. Calling it right now.
It'd be awesome.
We'll circle back to episode 41 in 10 years. In 10 years when we get the next unset, we'll circle back to episode 41.
Well, it didn't take that long to get the next unset.
That's true. When was unhinged versus unstable?
Oh, God, that was a long time apart because it took Mark Rosewater long.
Unstable to unsanctioned.
To unsanctioned.
Wasn't that long. No, you're right.
It was only like, 2 years or something?
Right, but one was a draft set and one was a pre-constructed
box set. Yeah. Hmm.
But still, it's something.
Still counts.
Still counts. Still both just as legal in normal formats.
But those lands are the hotness, and if I had them, I would be playing them.
I'm surprised. They actually don't seem to be as expensive as people thought they were going to be. The prices on those dropped a lot. It might have to do something with the current economy, with all the, you know, businesses being down. Some people have to sell out of their collections a little bit to get by right now. So,
sure. Well, I'm happy to purchase all of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're helping someone out by doing it, if you want to look at it in that light.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
All right, the next hint we have is some more creature types. We know Mark Rosewater dropped some creature types in the standard set. So some creature types that Gavin dropped. We have a goat hydra, a cat nightmare, and a badger dinosaur.
Ooh, badger dinosaur.
Badger, 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 mushroom, mushroom.
You think there'll be mushrooms?
Slimefoot and a badger. It's the badger mushroom song.
You probably should put a badger in that deck.
So if that badger dinosaur, will it have a throwback to Rampage?
That would be nice.
I mean, there are going to be some, not to get ahead, but another note, 8 non-evergreen old mechanics are going to be returning in this set.
Rampage has got to be one of them.
It very well could be.
Badgers don't care. They'll come after you.
Oh, yeah.
Honey badger don't care.
Honey badger, don't give it.
I have not seen that video in so long.
But I do think it's kind of interesting, the cat nightmare, because I think one of Mark Rosewater's hints was a nightmare squirrel. So that's two nightmares already that have been announced.
Are cats nightmares to some people? I think so.
Sometimes.
To you, Coyle, because you're allergic to cats.
They're cute.
All cats
they're real
are
cute.
Also nightmares to you.
Yes,
it depends on their personality.
Like the devil probably appears to be really cute too, but you know, still gonna murder.
Uh oh.
I'm just saying, cats are cute. That's all I'm saying by that.
Okay, let's circle back to the
good
eight.
Save, good
the
save.
Eight returning mechanics, though.
Yeah.
Can eight, one of them
eight
just
eight
be
non-evergreen?
Can one of them just be buyback? Come on.
Sure.
Or banding. Can we bring back banding?
Bring back
no.
banding.
Can't bring or back banding. Sorry.
Phasing.
Phasing. Or
Bushido. Bushido.
Bushido would be kind of cool. They do need to they need to print a legendary samurai that's worth playing in multiple colors.
A yeah, samurai. Not just brothers Yamazaki.
Right. There's Is that so? There's a mono white samurai that cares about samurais, and there's like I think two other samurais printed in mono white.
So yeah, we need samurai tribal.
We need that's it. We figured it out.
Samurai and ninjas. There you go.
Okay, but can we bring back the mechanic fortify? Anybody else know what fortify is, or is that just me?
I only because it got reprinted in mystery.
Fortify was reprinted in Mystery.
The one Fortify land got reprinted in Mystery Boosters.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a land that has Fortify, and Fortify means attach this fortification to target land you control. Activate it at any time you could cast a sorcery. And so Darksteel Garrison is an indestructible artifact that has when fortified land becomes tapped, target creature gets +1/+1 till end of turn.
That sounds fun.
It's the only fortified card.
Very flavorful.
And it's played in my signature Noyandar deck in some instances. Like, I don't have it in there right now, but you attach it to the creature that you animated, and then when it attacks, it gets +1/+1 from a very expensive 5 CMC that you had to dump into that terrible artifact.
But it's indestructible. So
the
you're going to keep
it. Becomes indestructible.
Yeah. Oh, I guess for the enchantment's not indestructible though.
The artifact is not
artifact.
Indestructible.
Okay. Interesting.
Not a great mechanic, but I'd be happy to. I think this was in Future Sight, so it's one of those mechanics they were trying out and they made one of. So I'd love for it to come back in a set, but it seems really weird because I don't think they want to put too many like enchant or art. Attached to land cards into Magic. I mean,
that's fair.
If your land gets removed or you tap it for another reason, that card you spent mana on doesn't do anything. So buyback.
I wonder if we'll Zuby see Clash.
Rampage. Flash?
I want Rampage, Banding, Phasing, and Clash.
Oh, Clash. I do like Clash.
That was a fun one, especially during draft and all that.
That's when you reveal the top card of your library, and if your CMC's
higher, and if you have the higher converted mana costs, you know, you put the card in your hand or whatever.
Or whatever ability if you have the higher CMC.
Yeah.
Nice.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I like playing that. I think some of my Omnath builds, or some Omnath builds want to Clash because they've got high CMC cards.
Yeah.
I think sticking with the theme of Ikoria, we're probably going to see Ferocious get reprinted here.
That'll make sense, yeah.
Ferocious, Formidable. Formidable. Good. I like that one as well. Throwback to Khans of Tarkir.
Unfortunately, we're probably going to see Split Second again.
I'm okay with that.
I hate Split Second so
much. I love it. Why do you think we're
because it's a commander set and they usually have something Split Second. They have for the past couple of years, so I assume there will be another Split Second card.
I'm all about it.
A Split Second counter. We need that.
That's a Split Second counter that can respond to a Split Second card.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
I'll play it in every deck because I
hate Split Second. Can only respond to Split Second, though.
Oh, that would be cool. It's a dead card in like almost every game, but
yep, except that one time you need to counter that Krosan Grip.
That's right.
I mean, Trickbind has Split Second, but it's counter target activated ability or triggered ability. So it's kind of like a counter, but only for special instances.
Yeah.
I need an artifact that it's called Slowdown, where all split seconds are only instants. All instants can only be cast at sorcery speed. Gross. And all sorceries are permanent
anymore. You just can't cast them. Sorceries can't be cast. They're too slow.
All sorceries, when you cast them, you put one time counter on them.
Ooh, a suspend counter. Ooh, I like that a lot. That is really cool. Yeah, I like that.
You're on to something.
You're hired.
Wizards of the Coast, please and thank you. All right. The next we have here is there's a legendary. So Gavin ended his first video with this because he thought it was excited. He said, well, Mark Rosewater got a card named Morrow, which is that mono green creature. And so Gavin was really excited that there is a legendary creature in which the first five letters spell Gavin. Doesn't mean it's in that order, though.
Gavin, okay. The first five letters spell Gavin.
Yep. I mean, it's a legendary creature.
Is he saying that's the whole word?
No, first five letters.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
That is a hint that we have been given. Yes.
Good for you, Gavin. I hope it's named Gavin. All right. Next one we have is rules text that says whenever you cast a spell with X in its mana cost, do something.
I like that.
Gross. I don't like it already.
I mean, I think this is very fitting for the Ikoria set. Big creatures. Maybe there's going to be a multi. Like, as of right now, we have, I think, one super good Hydra legendary. Hydra Matters legendary.
Gargamos, or I forget what it's called. But there's also that card that just costs X and has protection from multicolor from Throne of Eldraine. What's that card called? It's like a snake.
Stone Coil Serpent.
Oh, Stone Coil Serpent.
That's really good because that's got X in its cost, and that's X as anything.
Right.
Well, whatever card this is, Unbound Flourishing is going to be ridiculous with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm just hoping that they
print... I don't like it.
I'm hoping that they print a Gruul Hydra's Matter or Gruul X-Spells Matter that is a Hydra itself. I know they have that... red-green creature that taps for four colorless that can only be spent on X spells, and that's typically used for the green-red Hydra commanders.
Is that Roisin the Meander? Yeah. Is that the name?
Yep.
Wow, yep. I'm impressed I got that.
I thought it in my head and went, I don't think that's right, but you confirmed it for me.
Oh, good. Then it must be that. Roisin?
It's got to, unless we're both wrong. It's happened before.
That sounds like you're right.
That,
I think
that'd be a great card for that deck. Hopefully it is in red or green, or it's just colorless, like an artifact that sits out and does something. That would have all colors.
That might I don't, does that help artifact decks too much though? I don't know. There's some X artifacts out there.
Maybe those artifact decks need help.
Artifact decks don't need help, Andy.
Yeah, I think Urza needs some help though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But Duretti Scrap Savant, he doesn't need a ton of help, but he could use some help. There's not a ton of X in his deck, to be fair. There's some.
That's true.
Scrap Mastery, I think, costs X.
Yeah, Duretti doesn't need help either.
No.
Okay. We have a cycle of cards that is a reimagining of an old popular multiplayer cycle.
Old popular multiplayer cycle?
A reimagining of this.
What the heck is that? I don't even know what that is.
Old multiplayer, but we didn't really focus on multiplayer till Oath of the Gatewatch when we had support cards. Which was really meant for multiplayer.
Well, are they referring to like Plane Chase or something? Was there anything in Plane Chase?
Well, I guess it depends on what your definition of old is.
When I assume old, I mean real old, but I guess Battlefield Zendikar was just a couple years ago.
I immediately went with Tempt.
Okay, yeah, 2015. You went with what, Coil?
I was thinking about the Tempt cards.
When did Discovery come out? Was that...
I want to say C16?
I guess that's been 4 years.
Oh, Tempt card. Oh, okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Tempt with Discovery, Tempt with Vengeance. Okay. Hmm. Or is old from Battle Bond?
That's not old.
With the other cycle of the Battle Bond lands.
That would be, well, it does say a reimagining of these. So I hope they didn't go, oh yeah, we printed these Battle Bond lands. We're going to print a different kind of land that just has the other colors of it. Just please finish the Battle Bond lands. Because that would be great.
I do like the Battle Bond lands a lot.
We need the enemy color lands. Bad.
Okay.
Okay. A creature that generates mana that you can only use for activated abilities.
So we have a creature that activates only for artifacts, like to cast spells for artifacts. There's a blue card that is in Brawl right now.
Yeah.
So I play it in my Tezzeret deck.
You do.
So this is... Not I would is this new? Maybe it's
this new? Is a brand new card.
No. I mean new. Is this new to a mechanic in general? We've never had a creature that taps for mana only to be spent on activated abilities? I don't know.
Didn't they just print in C19, isn't there that is it card that whenever you have an equipped creature it has flying and it can tap for mana, it can only use that mana to is it cast equipments or equip equipments?
Are you talking about the Dalakos?
I thought
that was a standard card, though.
That is a standard card.
Is it?
I think it's in Thorwin, isn't it?
It is.
Or is that in Theros?
No, it's in Theros Beyond Death. So Dalakos has tap for two generic, spend it only on artifacts or to activate abilities of artifacts.
Ah.
So this is... I mean, I like those kinds of cards. There's a card that taps to give a creature haste. There's cards that...
Yeah.
Or no, to spend the mana only on creature spells. I like the limitation mana cards. Yeah, I'll play it. I'm sure I'll play it at some point.
Well, I hope it's in red because I could use it for my new Purphoros deck. Because that's...
So you can activate the ability of Purphoros to put a creature into play.
Yeah, to sneak attack it in.
Yeah,
I've been playing Fires of Invention in that deck, so you can only cast two spells on your turn. So activated abilities of creatures don't count as spells, and I'm not casting my creatures anyway. So it's kind of nice to get like my like a Conjurer's Closet down and a Mirror March down as my two spells for the turn, and then activate all of my my creatures onto the board. So yeah, I mean I don't need more help in that deck, but I'll take it.
Right.
That sounds gross.
Yeah.
But fun.
We have two more creature types that were announced on the second day. We have Whale Wolf and we have Dinosaur Cat tokens.
So they Pixie had
so excited about the dinosaur cats.
They had dragon cats. So now we're getting a dinosaur cat.
That was what, C17 they had the dragon cats?
I think so. That was in the dragon deck.
That was the tribal. That was like that deck. Whole tribal sets. Yeah.
Was that in dragons, not in cats. Yeah.
It was in dragons, yeah.
Because it was three color. Westoria.
Wasitora, I think.
Something like that.
Pronounce it a different way.
I think it's what?
Wasitoria?
Wasteria.
The thing that makes me sad about the whale wolf is it's probably like blue green.
Yeah.
And not just most mono. Likely. If it was mono green, I'd be putting that in my Talsimir deck.
You never know. Maybe it's a
mono green whale wolf.
Could be a whale on land.
It's a beached whale.
Land whale?
Yeah. Well, if it'd be a beached whale, that'd be like white blue then, it seems like.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's real slow. It's got last attack.
Last attack.
They should really print that as a normal mechanic and not just a silver border mechanic.
There's double strike, first strike. Attack, and then last strike. That's what it was. Last strike.
No, yeah, and there's triple strike.
There is triple strike. There is?
All right. There is triple strike. There's a silver border card with triple strike. It's three-headed goblin or something like that. It has first strike, double strike, and last strike. Or it has double strike and last strike.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that needs to be printed for real.
Mm-hmm. I think it really does.
I play that in standard.
And you could do it on a keyword soup commander or something. And
with give your cleave? Oh, man.
Ember cleave, oh my gosh, trample and triple strike and +1/+1.
All right, last hint we have on here. There is a single legendary card that brings back and uses experience counters, and it is not one of the eight named mechanics, the evergreen mechanics that they're bringing back.
Did you say commandics? Maybe. Commanders and mechanics. Well, commandics.
Commander, so it's saying it can bring back experience counters?
Well, there is a legendary card that uses experience counters. It brings back the experience mechanic.
Okay. So it uses experience. That's interesting.
It doesn't say it's the commander, so it could technically be in the 99, but it is a brand new card.
But if it's legendary and it's a creature, then it could be a commander.
It definitely probably is the commander.
That'd be great.
That'd be my guess, at least.
I think experience is fun. The only ones that I've ever seen really played are the Marin decks and the Azuri decks. I don't really see the other experience counter decks very often.
I used to see a lot of Mizzix at the beginning.
Of the Ismagnus.
Yeah. All right. So here's what that legendary creature is going to be. It's going to be a Godzilla type creature. Okay. The more experience counters it gets, that's going to be the charge up beam. And then you just pay X experience counters and it deals twice damage to target, you know, any target you want. Boom. There you go.
You pay X experience counters.
Yeah. To deal twice X damage to target creature or player or any target, we'll say.
I love different sources of currency. When they had energy, when they had... I'd pay experience counters for something.
You know, I never thought about it. You could use experience counters you accumulate with one legendary creature towards another legendary creature's experience counters matter ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
There's just no legendary five-color experience counters creature to play all of them in the same deck.
So not yet.
Play a five color creature and then all the experience counter commanders in it and hope for the best.
Yeah, you get you play Niv-Mizzet, the five colored one.
Yeah.
As your commander. Just to start digging through your deck.
Those were they all two color? I think they were all two color too, the experience counter commanders.
I think so, yeah. I think they were all two colored.
Yes.
Nice.
Yep. I'm gonna make a hot take. Put it on the board. This single legendary card that brings back and uses experience counters will have the rules text that says whenever you cast a spell with X in its mana cost, you get an experience counter.
Oh, you're putting two of those hints together.
I'm putting two of them together, and I'll even go one step further and say the ability is spells you have with X in its mana cost X less, where X is the number of experience counters you have.
Ooh, I like that, and I hate it at the same time.
I do. Yeah. People will abuse that, and it will be glorious.
Oh yeah. Villainous wealth and torment of hailfire. Hello.
Gross. But they're gonna They're gonna make it not in black though, and then people will be sad.
Already sad. Thanks. Oh. You just brought me down.
Well, if that's gonna be a static ability, then you just put it part of your 99 with your 5-color, you know, commander, 100%. And you just tutor for it immediately.
Man.
100%.
That's awesome. All right, well, those are all the hints.
So this week, we also found out about two at-home events, Magic Fest Online and Magic Fest in a Box.
Yeah.
Because everybody's at home. So there was an announcement from Channel Fireball about Magic Fest Online, which is bringing Magic Fest to you. Magic Fest Online is a tournament series on Arena, pitting players around the globe against each other for cash prizes and invites to the Players Tour. They're going to run daily qualifiers at 3 a.m., 9 a.m., 3 p.m., and 9 p.m. Pacific time to give everyone convenient times to play. Each flight has an entry fee of $25, and players finishing 5-1 or better will advance to the weekly championship. As an added bonus, each player that plays in a Magic Fest Online daily qualifier will receive a coupon for a free booster draft at a live Magic Fest up to $20 value. So that's really cool. And it says each weekly championship is a 2-day tournament with day one on Saturday, day two on Sunday. Players are competing for $25,000 cash prize pool, with top 8 receiving invites to the Players Tour Series 2 and the top 32 receiving invites to the season final. And then tournament is 8 rounds on day one, with players at 6 wins or more going on to day two. The Magic Pro League and Rivals League members are invited to these championships, so the competition will be tough. It says the season finals is a 2-day tournament with 50,000 cash prize pool and 32 players. 32 players, tour series, 2 invitations, and 2 invites to the Players Tour Finals. Minneapolis are up for grabs. So... we can't go anywhere right now, but things need to continue. There are tournaments and prizes to be won. We don't really play competitively, but I think this is really cool for the people that are those grinders and the folks that were playing in those that can't physically in person participate anymore.
Yeah. I think this is going to make the competitiveness go way, way up too. I mean, it's going to go both ways. There's going to be a larger pool of more casual players that are going, maybe this is my shot. But there's also going to be a larger pool of people who are only playing Arena before that maybe don't own the cards in physical form that are going to be able to compete at that level again.
Yeah. So the Channel Fireball is using the hashtag, hashtag MTG together to discuss Magic Fest Online. And to invite others into the conversation. So if you have any questions about that, you can visit Channel Fireball Events, cfbevents.com/Magic Fest Online. So I think that's pretty cool. They're trying their best to get people involved. I mean, I can tell you right now, we shouldn't have gone if it did happen, but Magic Fest Detroit was just supposed to be like 2 weeks ago. And it was super disappointing when that was canceled, because we haven't, you know, the closest thing that we get to us is Detroit and then Chicago. And that's, I mean, and then some things in Wisconsin, but a drive to Wisconsin for us is like
10 hours, 12 hours.
Yeah, it's a really long drive. Real close, but you know, there's that big lake that we have.
We got to go around the lake.
You got to go way down around that lake up here in Michigan.
I guess I never thought of it like that.
So, yeah. You know, they don't have those floating cars that drive on water yet. So for us.
Not yet. You mean boats?
Floating cars, not a boat, a car. I don't want to get out of my car into a boat because my car's not on the other side of the lake.
You mean a ferry?
That's still not a floating car. It just floats my car.
But you could put your car on the ferry.
That's right.
They do have that. Actually, I do think that they have that across the lake.
Oh, do they really?
I really do think that they have that to go over to some spots in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they do.
I think it's, does that save a lot of time, though?
No, because you have to go up to like Traverse City, I think, for
it. So we have to drive 3.5 hours north to get on it and then come way back down. Regardless, I was very disappointed when Magic Fest Detroit was canceled, even though that was like the first real week of we should probably all stay at home, which we did, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we didn't get to go to Magic Fest. So they announced Magic Fest in a box. So it says Magic Fest on your kitchen table. This morning they kicked off. This was just announced just a few days ago, actually.
Yep.
It says the same day they announced Magic Fest Online to bring Magic Fest experience to players' homes around the world. Since the cancellation of Magic Fest Detroit, players have asked how they can get their hands on Magic Fest playmats, Path to Exile promos, and the Soul Ring promos. So we got lucky. The Soul Ring promos we got at Command Fest last yep. year. But it says now they have a way to get everyone their swag with Magic Fest in a box. So it there's like four options, and they come with a bunch of stuff. So there's an option for a mystery playmat, and then you get like a foil path, a non-foil path, a non-foil soul ring, a set of the foil basic lands, a deck box, and a pack of sleeves, and that's $50. So it's really not that bad of a price.
It's pretty much what you're paying a little bit less than what you'd get if you paid for the main event.
Right.
There, so it's like what, about $20 cheaper,
or so. I think
if
so.
If you get the main event ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have the shame of going 0-3 and dropping out. So there's
that.
And then just playing at the casual commander tables with all your friends. Yeah. They have one where you can select your playmat. You get everything in the last pack that I mentioned, but you get to select from one of over 100 playmats. And for $10 more, you get to pick your playmat. So that's pretty cool. And then they have a commander edition and a two-player edition. So the two-player edition comes with basically double of all those items, but it comes with two prize items and then artist, vendor, and sponsor items. And that's $90. And then the commander edition comes with essentially four of everything, but it comes with a foil soul ring. So for those folks that want that foil promo soul ring, and that's $169.99. So from what I've seen online, people were doing the math of the cost of all of these items. And I guess the Commander Edition pack is like literally paying for all of these items at half cost. Like it's like a 50% discount, I guess, for the cost of the foil paths, the non-foil paths, the foil soul ring and all the other stuff you get. I guess it's like if you bought all that, you're getting a 50% discount. So if you need all these cards, you're getting it for a really good deal. And if you're looking to get these, just go into it with some friends and split it out for what you do need.
Yeah, I just looked at it. If you were to split it four ways, it'd be $42.50 for each person,
and that's,
which is, it's not bad at all.
Then you have to play one game of Commander to see who gets the foil soul ring.
And let someone take it.
There's four prize
items. It's going to come in bent anyway. So
always does.
Oh, for sure. It is nice and warped inside the plastic. But this does come with four prize items. So if you look at the mystery playmat edition that has all these items except the prize items, you're still paying more for the individual than if you split this with four people. So if you bought this box, you get four prize items and the foil soul ring, and then everybody can split everything else once you're allowed to go over to everybody's houses again. So I'm excited about this. I haven't
It's not bad at all.
I haven't bought anything yet, but I really want to. I haven't opened a pack except on the podcast in a really long time.
Since our mystery booster draft?
Oh, shoot. You're right.
Yeah.
It just feels like I haven't been part of the world for weeks.
It does feel that way. It's been like 1 week, but it feels like a month.
Yeah, it's been a week.
Are you all working right now or
from home?
From home.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I never leave my house, and I just feel like I haven't seen anyone in ages, even though it's only been less than 2 weeks since I've seen someone. I mean, I miss going into the public. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest.
I miss my LGS. I'm worried that my LGS isn't going to be here after all this.
Really?
Blows over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the only LGS we have in my town too.
Oh man. Oh, wow.
Well, I did see that they gave out for anybody part of the WPN network, they gave out some like codes. So if you order items online, if you put in the code, your LGS can get money from it. I'd have to find the link. And
I didn't know that. That's cool.
But I think WPN stores were just given the link, and I think they started to receive those links today to help out the LGSs.
Okay.
And I think it's specifically for items that are coming up, too. So, like, if someone wants to buy Ikoria cards, your LGS, if they have the ability to still ship to you as opposed to being in the office, actually working with the public. I know our LGS is actually closed. I mean, like they're closed, but they have some stock at home. So I know one of them said that they can ship to your house if you still need it. The other one is like, no, we're closed until, you know, April. I think it's, is it April 14th right now for us?
Or 15th? Yeah.
April 14th, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's 3 weeks. I mean, that's a lot of time they're closed. But they're,
yeah,
hosting,
sure, yeah,
they're hosting tournaments now through Discord. There's a website called MTG Melee. And you can set up tournaments on Arena. So they're, nice, they're trying. So it's really cool. But
at least they're trying to do something. Mine's not doing anything. We have a huge D&D scene, too. And I've been working on building that up the past year. And it's, I'm pretty sure it's going to die.
Oh, no.
Well, I know. Maybe you start a Discord or something, and if you have these,
we have a Facebook group that I've been trying to, you know, keep tabs on people, but no one cares right now, and rightfully so. I mean, it's not like it's the most important thing right now, but
well, that's true.
You know, I don't want it to die though.
Everyone needs something to keep themselves sane. You can't stay inside and do nothing forever. So
right.
Well, there's Animal Crossing right now.
Zuby and I are playing Animal Crossing. Make that jump.
I'm playing more Paper Magic than I ever have in my life, actually.
Yeah, because you're playing online through the Play EDH.
Yeah, Play EDH.
I need to join that. That's
I highly recommend it. It's been awesome. I haven't had any toxic experiences yet. Some people said they might have someone pull out like a mono blue Urza in mid power level, and it's like, okay, well, just win fast so we can play another game and put that thing away.
Yeah. You guys want to crack a pack?
Yes.
We're opening a pack of Ixalan today, and we're going to pick the card.
Are we going to guess what the rare is?
Yeah, do you want to do the same game that Zuby and Pixie did?
All right, before we look, what rare do we want to see from Ixalan?
See a Search for Iskanta.
Search for Iskanta. I would like to see... Gishath was in Ixalan, and Zakama was in Rivals of Ixalan. So maybe a Gishath, a big old dino.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Kumena in Ixalan or Rivals?
Kumena was
it was Tishana who was in Ixalan.
So Kumena was in Rivals.
Rivals, yeah.
What planeswalkers were printed?
There was Jace, Hawatli, and Vraska. I've got it pulled up right here, the list.
Oh, man. I have all those. I don't need those. As much as I love Buff Jace, Buff Jace is great. But
I could go for a Pirate Captain Vraska. I mean, that
she's a good planeswalker. She was nasty in Standard.
Say Revel in Riches just got reprinted in Mystery, so I don't want that again. So there's no Angrath in this one. Angrath was Rivals as well.
I'm not seeing Angrath in here.
I guess I have to go with Search for Iskanta then. I mean, a foil Search for Iskanta specifically.
Oil Search for Iskanta?
Yeah, oil.
Oh, all right. Maybe Star of Extinction's in here.
Also reprinted.
There could be Carnage Tyrant.
Growing Rites of Ithlamok.
The Gaia's Cradle.
Ooh, I do like Arcane Adaptation. Okay. That's a really good commander card.
All right, let's see what we got.
Okay. Yeah, the creature type one.
Yeah.
So we're going to open these. We're going to pick the card that we'd most want. So we've got Queen's Agent, 5 and a black for a 3/3 that has lifelink. It explores. It's a vampire scout. Next is Brazen Buccaneers, a human pirate for 3 and a red. It's a 2/2 with haste that has when it enters the battlefield, it explores. Legion's Judgment, a sorcery for 2 and a white. Destroy target creature power 4 or greater. Opt. An instant for 1 blue, scry 1, and then draw a card. I love me some Opt.
Yep.
Ixali's Diviner, 1 and a green for a 0/3, that it's a human druid. When it enters the battlefield, it explores. Got lots of explore in this pack.
Yeah, there is.
Territorial Hammer Skull, 2 and a white for When it attacks, you tap target creature and opponent controls. Windstrider, 4 and a blue for a flash and flying merfolk wizard that is a 3/3. Hierophant's Chalice, an artifact for 3/3 generic. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1. And it taps to add 1 generic to your mana pool. Costly Plunder, 1 and a black, instant, as an additional cost to cast Costly Plunder, sack an artifact or a creature and you draw 2 cards. Fire Cannon Blast for 1 red-red for a sorcery. It deals 3 damage to target creature with Raid. Fire Cannon Blast deals 6 damage to target to that creature instead if you attacked with a creature.
Yep.
I like Raid. I like the Raid mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Vicious Conquistador. I love this card. For a single black for a 1/2 vampire soldier that has when it attacks, each opponent loses 1 life. Each. I like the each opponent. That's our first uncommon. Yep. Second uncommon, Belligerent Brontodon. 5 green-white for a dinosaur that is a 4/6 with each creature you control deals damage equal to its toughness rather than its power. So very good in both Arcades and Doran Siege Tower.
Yep.
Both. Shapers of Nature, a Merfolk Shaman and a blue, 1 generic green-blue for a 3/2 ability. Pay 3 and a green, put a 1/1 counter on a target creature, or pay 2 and a blue, remove a counter from a creature you control, remove a +1/+1 counter from a creature you control, and draw a card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then our rare is Hostage Taker.
Heck yes.
Ooh. Woo! 2 a blue and a black for a 2/3 human pirate. Hostage Taker enters the battlefield. Exile until Hostage Taker leaves the battlefield. You can cast it for as long as it remains exiled and spend mana as though it was any color to cast that spell. This is a really good card.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good card. I think this is actually very good. It doesn't even have to be in a just, I'm going to exile that terrible creature that I don't like and then cast it.
Yeah. Is that the last card?
And then just a vampire token and a 4. That was the last card.
Oh, man.
You know, looking at these, I do like Hostage Taker, but for my own decks, I like Shapers of Nature, the Merfolk Shaman, because I play Vorl of the Hulkclade that deals with all 1/1 counter, +1/+1 counters, so I can put a +1/+1 counter on a creature or remove 1 from a creature to draw a card. So for one of my decks, I would put in Shapers of Nature from this pack. Coyle is showing us with his webcam right now that he has a Hostage Taker in his Yarak the Desecrate deck.
It's real good.
You're gonna
so is this pack one pick one based off if we're drafting?
This is pack one pick one for a card that we would put into our deck.
Oh, okay.
I mean, even from drafting, I would still go with Hostage Taker.
If I was drafting, Hostage Taker 100%.
Yeah, it'd be Hostage Taker. The only other close second would be the Fire Cannon Blast, only for some spot removal.
Yeah, 3 mana to deal 3 is fine with me if I was playing limited. But to deal 6, if I attack with a stupid creature that doesn't do anything just to get rid of their big thing, yeah, 100%.
That Vicious Conquistador, though, can do a whole lot of work. It's got a 2 toughness butt, so it's not the easiest thing to kill. And I played it in mono black aggro in standard. That's actually kind of when Andy and I met each other for the first time playing standard at our LGS. He was playing mono white weenie. I was playing mono black aggro.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Vicious Conquistador is very good in the aggro. 1 black, you make another. Each of your opponents lose 1. There's a lot of deck that actually make your opponents lose life when they swing. So
yeah,
I think there's a bunch of good cards, I think, for Commander in here.
Can we talk about how good that sealed pack would be for an Explore deck, though? I mean, like,
oh
the first
gosh,
three
yeah.
cards you named.
All really three good. Had, yeah. I mean, these are really, there's Ixalis Diviner. Brazen Buccaneers and Queen's Agent. All these very good. Costly Plunder is very good as well.
With the Explorer Plus, you have that, what is it, that Shapers of Nature?
that could help you remove those counters too.
Remove the counters and draw a card, or put
More. Yeah,
this is a really good pack. We'll tweet out this pack when pick one, and we'll see what everybody else wanted.
Last second. Talk about
Commander of the Week, Zuby, with your Tor Brand Thane of Redfell deck. Tell us about your mono red burn commander.
So the original reason I built this was if I love blue, I am a blue player, blue mage through and through, and
that's okay. We forgive you.
No, I love it.
And so my buddy that I play a lot of just one-on-one commander with, he's new to Magic. He gave me a challenge to start building some EDH decks that don't have blue. So a Yara, whatever, Lochthwain was my first one.
Yeah,
and nice then I decided to build a Tor Brand. But I didn't want to build Tor Brand because I used to have a Krenko deck, and a Krenko just gets kind of boring, where it's just, okay, build 50 goblins and win. So I wanted to build Tor Brand in a way you can win via aggro with creatures, but I also want to play a punishing Tor Brand deck where, you know, if you're going to be a control player, okay, I'm going to punish you for not tapping your lands. I'm going to punish you for tapping your lands. I'm going to punish you for having non-basic lands. And on top of getting Tor Brand out, all that punishment is just going to add up with the damage.
Okay. So
that's sort of my vision behind the deck. It's still in its early infancy. There's still some changes I need to do. I need to do some better card draw with it, and I probably need to add some better mana rocks to it. But I've been having so much fun with this deck. It can win fast, but when it's in a pod group, it can definitely not seem very intimidating until I start playing a lot of those enchantments.
Yeah. So how many games have you jammed with it so far?
Oh, got between, I don't know how many exactly, but between 5 to 10.
Okay.
Nice.
And my MVP of the deck has actually been Spear Spewer, the 0/2 defender goblin for 1 red. Spear Spewer deals 1 damage to each player when you tap him. Mm-hmm. So he only deals 1 damage to yourself when you have Tor Brand out, but with Tor Brand out, he deals 3 to everyone else, which that has won me a few games.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I love looking at this. So I have a Tor Brand deck. So before we started recording, Coyle was talking to Zuby about our mono red October. And I know we talked about this back in October, but our LGS has a theme month where everybody plays mono red decks at our Commander League. So I built this because it was new. And, you know, there's really silly cards that don't do a whole lot in Commander, but they do a ton when you have Tor Brand. Like Zuby has Trickery in the deck that deals 1 damage to target creature, but you can overload it for 1 and a red. Well, it actually deals 3 damage to each creature you don't control. Mm-hmm. Lightning bolting every creature you don't control is ridiculous for 1 and a red.
Sure is.
I mean, this deck does so much. You know, I'm looking at, and we'll post Zuby's deck list later as well. You've got cards like Repercussion feels like a signature card, like really, really good for this deck.
I have not been able to play that card yet, but it is my goal to get Repercussion and then play Blasphemous Act.
Oh, I've never done that either in my both of those cards also in my deck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to do it so bad.
Fiery Confluence, really, really good in Tor Brand deck because you can lightning bolt each of your opponents 3 times. So you deal 9 damage for 4 mana to each of your opponents. I would pay that. I'd play that card any day.
Yes. I love it.
Tor Brand. So good. And you have, okay, so you've got some.
Well, actually, it's not 9 damage if you, because it deals 2 damage to each opponent. So it's actually 12 damage because you're doing it 3 times.
Oh, you're right. It's not, what, that's 1 damage to each. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Even I'd play a card that says pay 4, deal 12 damage to each opponent any day. You've got some tribal Chandra stuff going on in here. I like it with Chandra's Regulator.
Yes. Oh, that has produced some funny stuff, especially with which Chandra is it? The Chandra Pyro Genius. When I get her out with Chandra's Regulator and having Tor Brand out as well. And I just always do the +2 with Chandra Pyro Genius, the deals 2 damage to each opponent. So I'm dealing 8 damage with Chandra's Pyro Genius when I have the Chandra's Regulator and Tor Brand out.
That is a really good card. I also see that you've got cards like Angra damage out here.
Can we talk about how bad of a person you are for playing mana barbs in a Torbran deck?
I gotta punish, you know, the people. I especially have to punish the people who like to ramp and then have a lot of mana out. So I play mana barbs and I'm like, okay, well, you know, go ahead, tap all your mana. It's going to deal 3 damage each time you tap that mana.
Yeah, a lightning bolt to tap a land.
It's their own fault. They can just not tap the land.
Plus, I have the Burning Earth as well. So it's taps a non-basic land for mana, deals potentially 3 damage to them. On top of, if they decide not to tap any mana, there's the Citadel of Pain, where it deals X damage based on how many untapped lands they have.
Yes, and Impatience, that will deal 5 damage if you don't cast a spell.
Yeah, so I don't see anything wrong.
You get that Sulfuric Vortex out there, good luck gaining life. You're actually just going to take 4 at your upkeep. Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong. It seems
like a ton of fun to play.
Oh, it is. It's so much fun.
And if you're sitting on the other side of the table, you go, hold up a removal spell.
I can tell you, playing Torbran is the first time I've ever... So I also run Chandra, the Sparking Chandra. It's the first time I've ever been able to flip one, because... dealing 3 or more damage, her dealing 3 or more damage in a single turn, which has to tap to deal 1, is sometimes very difficult. But in Torbran, it is not.
Mm-mm. Nope, it not is at all. Pretty easy.
You tap her, and then she flips, and then she burns some more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the other enchantments that's done a lot of work for me in a few games was Vance's Blasting Cannons. It's when you flip that over, you can pay 2 and a red to deal, you know, a lightning bolt to a single target.
So Vance's Blasting Cannons is at the beginning of your upkeep, the top cast. Whenever you cast 3rd spell on a single turn, you can transform it. So this is one of those. This is also from Ixalan.
Yep.
The Ixalan block. I think it was from Ixalan.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's from Ixalan.
I think it's important to note that this card, it is for flipping it. And I guess in mono red, you were mentioning it before about having to have better card draw. This does give you card advantage if you don't flip it over. So, you know, you can choose to have it be your, what is it, outpost siege on dragons, or is it Tarkir's?
It's cons you'd want.
Cons. Yeah. So that's kind of nice. And then you flip it whenever you want to, you know. Well, when you cast your 3rd spell, but...
Well, it's a you may transform, so it's still a may ability. So, yeah, you're right.
This is great. I love it. We'll go ahead and post this deck later for everybody and you that we should be playing in a Torbran deck. Reach out to Zuby and give him on this deck. I really, really like it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I definitely plan on making some more changes to it within the next coming weeks. But for the it's going to remain relatively the same. I just want more card draw, maybe 1 or 2 more mana rocks or something like that, just for more consistency.
Absolutely. Sure. Isn't that what we all want in mono red? More card draw and consistency.
Yeah.
Less craziness and gambling.
Yeah. The amount of times I've top decked a Blightsteel Colossus in my Ilharg deck, though, is ridiculous. So somehow it has consistency with 80 cards sitting in the library anyways.
Well, wonderful for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Not for your opponent. No. I'm glad I have never been that Blightsteel
Colossus. Yeah, that sounds gross.
I was in a game with Coil just the other day, and he swung at someone else, and I was like, good luck.
Yeah, I swung at the person who had a blocker because I didn't want to knock someone out of the game and then play like a 30 to 45 minute game with one person knocked out, because I've been there.
Oh, no, yeah, I know what you mean. I've been there too.
Tried to knock out still won.
Yeah.
Ooh. So
turns out infect counters aren't that great if you don't get them to 10.
True.
When it's your only card that gets.
Yep.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of our segment this week. This is the end of our episode. Thank you, Zuby, so much for joining us this week.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm glad to come back anytime.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank everybody. Thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find us on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me at AT Flory.
You can find me at Worm Coil Engine.
And Zuby, where can we find all of your stuff? This is the shameless plug. Plug all your stuff.
Magic Zuby can be found on the following: on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Spotify. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Magic Zuby, on Instagram at Magic underscore with underscore Zuby. And you can email me with any questions you may have at mtgzuby@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Also, take a look for our hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posts and episodes. We'd like to hear from you, so send along your episode. You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. Come join our Discord. If you can't find, if you're not on Twitter, reach out to us through our email at Guardian Project Pod and just say, "Hey, I want to join your Discord." We'll send you a link. And we hope you are all enjoying our episodes, and stay safe at home. And we'll talk to you next week.
Stay healthy.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.
All right.
All right. Awesome.
Cool.
We are officially not recording now. Now we are.
Oh, no B-roll?
Nope.